My name is Brittany Bedsall. I'm 20 years old. Today's date is April 10th, 2018, and I'm speaking with Amara Phillips, who is my friend. We are recording this in Warrensburg, Missouri. Amara, can you give me 4 words that describe you as a person, either physically or mentally?
I'm definitely creative. Empathetic, I'd say considerate, and arrogant.
Do you think that any of those traits would be socially acceptable in a young man about your age?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why?
I mean, arrogance is something that's very much portrayed among men as arrogance sort of gets confused with confidence. Compassion, or, you know, just being considerate, is, I think, something that women look for in men, but not something that's so much valued from other men. Creativity can definitely be valued in men, and empathy is not, you know, I think in general terms, something that you would use to describe a young man, but I mean, I obviously, yeah, I think that would be, I value it.
Do you think that since, if someone took a list of words that described you and didn't put anything that, like, fit our social construct idea of what a woman is, and they put it beside another list, do you think you would line up with being a woman, or do you think you would line up as just either? Like, if someone lined up your personality traits and they had to guess, do you think they would guess woman, or?
I think that a lot of the words that I would use to describe myself, or someone would use to describe me, are female-oriented words. You know, I think people might use bossy around me instead of, like, leadership skills, things like you would associate with more of men. Like, you know, instead of arrogant, actually, they might just say full of herself. So I think it's just, like, the vocabulary involved would make me align more with the female side.
Do you think, using today's vocabulary, you can describe what it is to be a woman? Like, what makes somebody a woman? How do you look at somebody and know that they're a woman, or?
They say that they're a woman.
How about, if you walked past someone on the street and you think woman, like, just in the back of your mind, what would make you think that?
I think, like, obviously, you know, like, sexual characteristics, you know, having breasts, like, having a female shape usually is a giveaway for me. But, you know, just, like, certain things that we associate that I would identify that wouldn't necessarily be correct, but what I would identify is, you know, the long hair, like, breasts, like, big hips, things that are more biologically female.
How would you describe womanhood in 2018 compared to womanhood in the past?
I think womanhood in 2018 has a lot more, has much broader spectrum of words that could describe it. I think that womanhood in the past has been very narrowed, even to, you know, the sex that you're assigned at birth. So, and 2018, I think it absolutely is different, and it's no longer restricted to even that. So just in terms of it, I think that womanhood in 2018 is anything.
How do you see women as a whole portrayed in social media? Is it in a positive way, negative, and why?
I think that in social media, for the most part, I see women portrayed as, I don't want to say as objects, but I definitely think that there's a huge objectification of women in social media. I mean, and it goes from people like Donald Trump, who pose in magazines with women on either side of his arm, like, you know, like a literal accessories, to boys at spring break doing the exact same thing. I saw a guy who I was interested in doing that, and that immediately turned me off because he had those girls on either side of him, not even their faces in the picture.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that there's a pressure for girls to do that to themselves, too. You know, absolutely, like, work towards putting themselves off in social media as things that people will appreciate, whether that be fashion or their bodies or their hair. Or I'm absolutely, like, a victim of that. And I definitely participate in that because it's just sort of what our society is aiming towards, like, in terms of value. Like, it's definitely not like women are going to be, I guess, necessarily as valued for just sometimes their creativity. I actually have an art page, too.
Mm-hmm.
I have a page for my art, a different Instagram. And I think I have, like, 70 followers on that. And I've had that one for 2 years. And I've had my other one for 4 or 5, granted. But I have 700.
Yeah.
And so, like, and I think that just in terms of social media, it's definitely more about the surface appeal.
Do you think what's valued in a woman back when our grandparents were young has changed to today's ideas quickly, or do you think it's been very slow and gradual?
I think that, you know, in the 90s, there was this, and in, well, you know, my grandma grew up in the 50s and 60s, well, 40s and 50s. And then in the 70s, there's this big push for women to go to universities. In the 90s, there's this big push for another wave of feminism. And just, I think that it's been a mix of gradual and rapid. I think that they've come in rapid spurts. I think that they, like anything, rise and fall in popularity.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, I would say that, you know, like, and if you look at it in the broad spectrum of human history, it has been a radical change. Like, definitely in the what people value in women.
Yeah.
And what women value in themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, that definitely, I agree. Do you feel that your family and your friends support you in the way you choose to express yourself as a woman or a person?
I think that to a point they do. I think that they would. My father, you know, I'm bisexual, and I think my dad is a little uncomfortable with that just because I don't think he can relate, and yeah. I don't think that he doesn't think that bisexual people exist.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he just sort of expects me to lean one way or the other.
Yeah.
And so I think he'd be more comfortable if I came out as gay or if I was straight. Mm-hmm. But being both, I think, weirds him out. Not to say that I don't think he would accept me. But that's my immediate family. Mm-hmm. And my friends are fantastic, you know.
Yeah.
But a lot of my grandma, actually, like, we just said the other day, we were talking to her in the car, and my brother, she was asking about me and my brother, and my dad goes, oh, yeah, Eli's doing fine. She's like, he got a girlfriend? He goes, no, but he's got a boyfriend. Completely joking.
Yeah.
Dead silence. Then just a, what? And I'm kidding. But no, she would not be accepting of that. No.
Do you think, have you noticed any, like, even minute ways where people are like, oh, that's not what ladies do? Or, like, coworkers or anybody saying anything that's like, you really shouldn't be doing that, or can I have the guys come help me move this? Things that. Are you bugged by those things, and where do you see them?
Absolutely. Like, the first thing that came to mind when you said that was Hannah. My best friend Hannah has a sister who is 4 now, and she was like, it was about 6 months ago, and mm-hmm. we went over to their house, and she had her legs spread real wide. She's a toddler.
Yeah.
And she was messing with her underwear, and as toddlers do, it's uncomfortable. And her mom goes, hey, that is not how young ladies act. That is not how little ladies behave. And, you know, me and Hannah were like, how about we just say, like, that's just not how polite people behave, because that kind of insinuates that there are restrictions that she has because she's a woman,
mm-hmm.
instead of restrictions she has because she wants to present herself in a polite manner.
Yeah.
And even that, like, they were really mad. They got really upset with us. And, like, to a point, valid. It's their kid.
Yeah.
But, like, I think that instead of viewing us as saying, like, hey, we're trying to make a difference in societal mm-hmm. views of what a nice young lady is.
Yeah.
Versus, like, we're critiquing their parenting style.
Yeah.
And, you know, I figured this out. You know, I thought about this a while back. Like, society has so many restrictions for you to be a nice young lady. But every action is excused by boys will be boys.
Yeah. I can definitely see that all over.
Yeah.
Do you ever find yourself wishing you were perfect in any way other than how you are right at this moment? Be that physically or an attitude thing. What is it about yourself that you would change?
Oh my God, everything. I mean, I'd be skinnier. I'd be prettier. I would have different colored hair, different colored eyes. I would be...
Emphasize prettier.
Fuller lips, more symmetrical eyes. I would have a thinner face, higher cheekbones, a better nose bridge. Like, I'm told constantly that I'm a beautiful person. And I don't say that to be arrogant, but yeah. I say that to emphasize, like, I'm not happy with my appearance 90% yeah. of the time. Smoother skin, like, just more even. And then, like, with my personality, like, I'm in a constant battle of, like, you know, trying to project who I am, like, be real,
mm-hmm.
and also be socially acceptable, because those are, like, when you're in certain situations, you want to act a certain way. Like, you don't want to be a dick to people.
Yeah.
You don't want to be a jerk to people, sorry. Because, like, even though, like, that's considered being fake.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's a difference, so it's, you know.
Treating people with respect versus just not.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Do you believe that your gender or physical appearance have ever influenced job opportunities or opportunities in any areas of your life?
Yes. Actually, this is really weird. Maybe not the way that you expected. Mm-hmm. When I was 16, I got a job as a waitress in Liberty. And when I was working, my boss would always compliment me on my looks. And then one day I was like, geez, like, are you just, like, only hiring pretty people? And he was like, yeah, absolutely. That I really do. I only hire pretty people. I don't want people coming in here and, like, looking at uggos. And I was like, that's disgusting. Yeah. That's awful. Mm-hmm. Like, you're a horrible human being. But also, it's one of those things where, like, I think that when I tell people that story, they're kind of like, oh, well, at least, like, he's calling you pretty. But it's like, he's also saying that I have no merit outside of my looks.
Yeah.
You know? And so, as a woman especially, that's something that I think we all face a lot, is that if you aren't conventionally attractive, you don't hold merit.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you are conventionally attractive, you don't hold merit.
Yeah.
Your entire value is based upon your appearance.
That is very true. Do you think you've ever, like, limited yourself in something that you do because of your gender? Like, did it ever cross your mind to be a trash man as a job between high school and college? Like, I know I didn't consider that at all.
No. But, you know, like, going into college, it was interesting is that when I went into college, I decided to go into a field that's predominantly male-based, that has a lot of people who straight up tell me, you know, in anthropology, if I want to work with people, especially minorities or people that are in need of help, you know, makeup is intimidating,
mm-hmm.
and beautiful, competent people are intimidating. It's just, like, it's not even, like, a rude thing. It's mm-hmm. just that if you are, like, an attractive, confident person, you are going to intimidate people. And so there's a juxtaposition of, like, you know, I want to be taken seriously for my work,
mm-hmm.
and not because I'm a pretty person.
Yeah.
And I also, you know, I don't want to sacrifice doing my makeup. I like doing my makeup, and yeah. I like being pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to sacrifice that in order to be taken seriously. But I also don't want to be somebody that
values my appearance over helping other people. Mm-hmm. So it's a really weird balance that I'm struggling with in this since I came to college and was told those things.
Yeah. Do you think it ever, like, do you think you would, you literally change how you dress or how you do your makeup based on, like, what it is you're about to do? Like, if you're about to go apply for a job or something like that involving anthropology, like, do you think you would actually, like, look up and see if there's a predominantly men there and then, like, do your makeup a certain way?
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. No, like, oh, yeah, absolutely. If I know that I'm being interviewed by a man or a woman, I will definitely change my outfit to be flattering. Mm-hmm. You know, you do your makeup differently. I think that there's this horrible, horrible idea in society that women are competitive and always competing with each other. And so, for a long time when I was interviewing with women or if I wanted to get a job with a woman, I would make myself look, you know, more frumpier, more, like, less attractive because I didn't want them... I didn't want to be the girl that they walk in and go, oh, fuck her. Like, yeah. Or, you know, like, oh, God, I hate her. Because, I feel like I'm coming off as super arrogant right now because I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so pretty. No, like, everyone hates me. But you do. Like, you just, like, you don't want to be threatening to another woman because society really primes us against each other, especially with appearance. And with a man, I absolutely, you know, I'll wear a lower cut shirt. I'll look better because, again, society primes women to think that they're judged for their appearance more than their merit.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna look my best because that could be the thing that pushes me up. And it's horrible because I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to fall into the system, but also if there's a system that I can take to my advantage, no matter how shitty it is, like, I still want to use it to my advantage while I can.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes absolute sense. Now, this next question is going to seem totally off the wall, but sure. It will connect back to this. If you could dream up any man that you were going to spend the rest of your life with,
okay,
just, like, buildaman.com,
okay,
right now, personality and physical traits, what do you want?
Somebody who's confident. Somebody who is, I like tall. Because I'm a tall girl and I was really self-conscious of that growing up, so it's hard for me to date shorter guys. I'm not against it at all. It just, like, it's harder for me because it was such a self-esteem issue. So tall. I really like dark hair just because I want my kids to have dark hair because I always wanted dark hair as a kid. Mm-hmm. Eyes aren't a huge deal. I used to say that I wanted light eyes, but I've fallen for plenty of guys with dark eyes now, but as long as they're pretty, as long as I get lost in them. fitness isn't a big issue for me. I obviously, you know, somebody who's healthy, but, you know, I'm not super attracted to people who are incredibly sculpted because I find it a little, like, I don't want people to compare us and be like, oh my God, look at her. but she has to make me laugh, has to be intelligent, be able to challenge me without criticizing me, and that's a really hard balance to find. And this is not singularly for a man. I look for both of those, and I look for those features in both genders.
Mm-hmm.
Even height. I like tall girls.
Mm-hmm.
But empathy is something that's very underrated, and being considerate.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the way I was raised, I was really shocked when I came into college and realized that most people aren't raised to be considerate. And I don't mean that to be like, oh, nobody opens the door for me. But I mean, like, I'm making a decision. I'm going to think about how this affects people close to me.
Yeah.
Like, I think that that's not something that people really, and not in a mean way, not in a way that they're, like, being rude. I just think that honestly doesn't occur to most people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that most people, especially when they become independent in college, are like, oh, I can just worry about me now. And that's totally fine. I just don't do that. So I would want somebody who also didn't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get where you're coming from. As far as, like, life-wise, your guys' lives working together, how would you want that to be, like, financially and homes and kids and stuff.
Yeah. So I don't want to get married. I don't want kids. maybe like a guy who comes and goes every couple of weeks. I don't know. I honestly do want separate banks, separate money issues, because mm-hmm. that's just every time I ask somebody who's been with someone for ages, they always tell me like separate bank accounts. That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
Because money is, it's such a horribly important part of life,
yeah.
that it's like, it seems trivial to argue over money, but it ends up affecting big things, mm-hmm. and it's such an easy snowball. So I wouldn't mind getting married if I found the right person.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to have kids, I'd have them much, much later in life.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, because this is buildyourdreamman.com right now, if you did marry him, do you think you would prefer it to where he pays bills, or you guys split it half and half, or would you be mad if he was like, can you pay the bills and I want to stay home and do laundry?
I would like to do half and half. I mean, stay-at-home dads or stay-at-home husbands are not something I'm against. It's not something that I would like, because I don't really mind cleaning up after myself. Mm-hmm. Like, if I was somebody that hated doing dishes and hated doing, you know, taking out trash and hated cleaning, then it would be different. But I don't mind doing that.
Yeah.
So I would like somebody that had their own thing outside of trying to make up for not working, mm-hmm. or because they don't want to work. I don't think that would, obviously if I just fell in love with somebody and that was their heart's desire, like I'd make it work, but mm-hmm. that's probably not the kind of person I would let it get very far with.
Now, do you think, this is where it ties back to the conversation before, do you think there are any of these expectations that we as women hold normally that are completely unfair, like the ones that we see and experience so often? Such as, we expect the guy to hold the door open for us, we expect them to pay for dinner when we go on a date, we expect, like, it's just an expected thing, and then if they don't, it's like, oh, that's fine, because, like, I can do it on my own, but, dang, like, you could have done this, like, how rude, and, like, we expect them to be strong and providing. Always the deep voice, and if they don't have the super deep voice, then it's just, like, oh, that's not very mm-hmm. manly.
I think that personally, it's different for me. I was raised among boys and I was raised with guys. And so I've kind of always felt like, this is my fear, is that, you know, I didn't have a mom growing up and I was raised by guys. So I'm going to be the dad. It's going to be two fucking dads. Like, but, you know, I think in society, absolutely, there's a double standard there. Uh-huh. I think that there's a big problem with women who think that they can expect certain things from men and then not want them to expect anything from women, which, you know, nobody should be expected to do anything that they don't want to do. Mm-hmm. You should never expect it. Obviously, if there are women that want to be housewives, do it, man. Like, if that's what you want, mm-hmm. do it. And I hope that you kick the crap out of cleaning house. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Be the best fucking housewife you can. Freaking. but, you know, there is absolutely this sort of stigma that, oh, I'm a very independent woman, but he should still pay for the first meal. Like,
yeah.
I think that whoever asks that person out, if I ask you out, I'll pay. If you ask me out, you should pay because you're inviting. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like you said, open the door. Be the provider. Just, you know, who expect men to just be providing for them and to be their emotional rock and to be... I think that's very much ingrained in society, but I also think that that is, you know, also expected, like men expect that of other men.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that to a point, it's more of a masculinity issue than it is a female expectation issue.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, so. Basically, do you see yourself defending women and LGBTQ people more often, or men more often in a social circumstance, or even such as if someone said, oh, well, you need to fix your skirt, it's too short, you just look like a piece of meat right now, you'd jump in and be like, hey, that's not cool. Like, you're looking at her like that. That's not who she is. Versus if someone was yelling at a guy because he was wearing something.
A skirt.
Yeah, like a. Yeah. Some girly that's supposedly makeup. Girly. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like, I think that as a girl, I'm always going to want to side with girls.
Yeah.
Like, I'm always going to be more primed and ready to defend women because that's just what I'm on the lookout for. Mm-hmm. Like, as a woman, like, I'm ready for it. I'm expecting it. I'm expecting it for other women. But also, you know, I fight with my father all the time. You know, my brother is depressed, and my dad's definitely one of those people that believes that men are men and they have certain responsibilities as men that they need to uphold to, and they need to take charge, and, you know, people don't cry. You know, he always told me I'd never cry.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess maybe it's not just a dude thing, it's just my dad thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that there's absolutely this horrible toxic masculinity ideal that men shouldn't show emotion, men shouldn't be interested in anything female, and that, you know, when females are interested in male things, it's fine. Like, they're improving, they're getting better because they're interested in dude stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, they're accommodating our interests.
Yeah.
But if a guy does it for a girl, or if a guy does it because he wants to, it's weak.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that I think that in 2018, I've probably had more arguments defending men than I have had to do for women. And maybe it's just because women are better able to defend themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that guys are less able to because they're just ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I don't know. I think it does split even on some cases.
Okay. What do you think about that same sort of issue, but racially? Do you see yourself, like, do you ever think you're either overcompensating or not compensating at all, or just, like, trying to, like, make sure you're being super politically correct instead of being real? Or do you think you're just, like, trying to be empathetic but still real at the same time? How do you see racial problems in your own life? Do you see black people treating you like you're just need to go away, you're annoying, or Hispanic people just like you?
I think that as a white person, it's very rare that I, you know, experience racial discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, yeah, when I go to a predominantly black or predominantly other race area, that they give me looks, but I never, like, you know, it's hard to not assume that they're giving you a dirty look. But I try not to,
because yeah.
I know that, like, anytime someone, like, looks different than you, you look at them. And I don't think that it's a negative, like, what the fuck are you doing here?
Yeah.
I think it's just a, like, oh, there's a white person.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't, that's not discrimination. That's literally just, like, even if it was a nasty look, even if, like, let's just pretend that I went into a place that was all black women and they instantly looked at me and gave me this dirty look, that's really not racial discrimination. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of being a jerk.
Yeah.
Because I'm white.
Yeah.
Like, I think that more often, this is silly because I'm incredibly white passing, but I'm like a fourth Native American. Mm-hmm. And so I find myself defending Native Americans when I myself am hardly ever discriminated for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I find myself defending that more often than I would ever myself for being white.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. Do you ever feel almost defensive for your own race as a white passing person? So do you ever think that, like, it's just all white people are awful, they just, everyone's so racist and blah blah blah, and it's like you hardly ever open Facebook and see this white person did all these great things, and it's just their name did these great things. But when a black person does it, it's like this felon saved someone from a fire. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Why couldn't you use his name? Does it ever seem to you like everyone is pretty much just pitted against you because social media and our country really makes white people, quote unquote, more powerful or more privileged?
Well, you know, I think that there is this huge misunderstanding for people when, you know, you go on social media and they'll be like, white people need to realize, or men need to realize, mm-hmm. or this problematic group needs mm-hmm. to realize, because, and everyone would be like, not all white people, not all men.
Yep.
And it's, you know, not all this or that, not all conservatives, not all liberals, whatever the group is that's being problematic at the moment.
Yeah.
They don't realize that it's not meant to be a blanket statement. It's saying that this is a system that's in place that mm-hmm. is harmful. And as a person in that system, you are benefiting from it.
Yeah.
So even if you're not contributing to it, you're still benefiting. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you have a responsibility to be aware of it and to bring change.
Yeah.
Because it's hurting people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, absolutely, especially the beginning, especially before college and before I, you know, actually matured and got educated, I was very offended by all these, like, oh my God, white people are so ignorant. And it's like, I'm not ignorant and I'm white. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to understand, you have to use common sense and use your brain and understand that that does not mean that people are against you because you're white. They're saying that there's a system in place that white people are benefiting from that's mm-hmm. not okay, and that since you're white and since you have, you know, since you created the system, you sort of have to change it.
Like, yeah,
you guys have to be the ones to change it, because as much as minorities can fight to change, as much as women or blacks or Native Americans or any minority, as much as they fight for it, they can only do so much. It takes a team.
Yeah. Yeah. That is... So if you put yourself... Say we swap bodies for a day, Freaky Friday style. How do you think your life would be different? Small things. Do you think... Can you imagine just anyone, like, looking at you differently? Or do you think it'd be exactly the same? Or do you think you'd be seen as cooler some places and, like, completely unwanted in others? Or do you really think it's like it'd pretty much be the same?
I think that there would be differences. You know, obviously you're a close friend of mine, and I've had experiences with you where literally you've been targeted for things we're both doing, like, you know, not like we're places we're not supposed to be and they tell you to go.
Yeah.
And it's I don't want to say that's 100% because of race, but I think it's naive to say that it has nothing to do with race.
Yeah.
Or to say it could have nothing to do with race, because, you know, we were both there. You know, if you put, like, and you know, it's not, a lot of times people like to put the argument out like, oh, well, they're dressed like a hoodlum. Like, they're dressed like a gangsta. And it's like, you're not. Like, you dress like every college student does, mm-hmm. you know, and even if you didn't, like, even if, you know, you decide to self-express however the fuck you want to self-express,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't mean that you should lose your rights to be, you know, treated the same as everyone else.
Yeah.
Because clothing is just, I'm going to go off on a tangent if I keep talking about that. But, you know, absolutely, I do think that there would be changes. I think there would be big and small, you know, just from the way that people assume things about you. I think that, you know, even as a woman, I experience this, and I'm sure minorities experience this, that you're stupid because of how you look.
Yeah.
You know, straight white males are automatically going to be considered just smarter.
Mm-hmm.
And it sucks. And it's absolutely untrue. But I have experienced that only as a woman. And, you know, I'm a white woman, so, like, could you imagine, like, the struggles that, you know, African-American women go through, mm-hmm. like, African-American men, just, like, any minority, like, that's another hurdle you have to jump.
Yeah.
Just, like, in everyday life.
Do you think if you had to choose between living a year, staying in your life, or living a year in my life, which one do you think you would choose just for your own, like, both things you could learn, or your safety or your financial situation, anything like that, do you think you'd feel safer as me, a black woman, no. but like stronger anywhere or less safe?
I think that there, I can't say that I would do it because honestly, I'm a fucking weak bitch.
Yeah.
No, honestly, I don't know if I could do it for a year. I'd do it for a month. I'd do it for a month easy. Just a year. Honestly, I'm just selfish. I don't want to lose a year of my own life. But yeah, like if you said like somewhere out of time and space, like you're going to go or go back in time and live a year of Britney's life.
Yeah.
I would do it. Absolutely. Because I think that there's no way that I could ever know what it's like to be a black woman unless I was one.
Yeah.
You know, I can empathize. And I think that it's inconsiderate and, you know, exclusive to say that white people can't have an opinion on racial matters because they're not black.
Yeah.
It's just never going to be as valid as something a black person says because they're the ones who go through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't speak for the things that men go through because I'm not a man. Just like they can't speak for the things that women go through.
Yeah.
They can say in my experience, this is what I've observed.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, anthropologists here, like observation is not great because mm-hmm. when you observe things, you go to African tribes and say, look, they're doing the Charleston. How did that get all the way out here? Instead of think like, so someone actually goes up to them and go, what are you doing? And they're like, we're doing a dance. And they're like, oh, maybe people got the Charleston from them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you have to experience it. Like, you can't just observe because you'll get things wrong.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely. I definitely would.
Winding up. If there was one thing, one small element about society that you could change, what would it be? For example, women aren't seen as caregivers, or black people are not seen as a threat in common everyday situations, or it has to be one small, like one little group of people, one little bias that most everybody has. What's one thing you would change?
I think that I would change the idea that white people are superior because of what they've done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like that's the best way to encompass and help most people. Like, honestly, you know, people automatically will be like, oh, look at what freaking, you know, African people are doing, or what, you know, the South Americans are doing. Like, we had Europe, we've had this, we've had all these accomplishments, we founded America,
mm-hmm.
we had Manifest Destiny. Like, first of all, get the fuck away from me. Like, that's disgusting. Manifest Destiny, my ass.
Yeah.
But like, you know, it's still prevalent, it's still relevant today, you know. People automatically, like, they'll always justify, well, I'm white, so people should, like, I didn't have anything, so everyone should be at my level. Like, yeah. Everyone automatically assumes that if they're white, everyone else should be at their level, and if they aren't, they just didn't try hard enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, like, maybe not that they didn't attribute their success to their past, but just, like, recognize that their success is attributed to their past and not, like, I don't know. But something along those lines.
Yeah.
Like, maybe just for white people to wake the fuck up. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Just, like, pride, maybe. Like,
yeah. Just, like, everyone should have pride in themselves. And yeah. in their race. And yeah. in their gender. Everyone. You should never be ashamed to be white.
Mm-mm.
You should never be ashamed to be anything. And mm-hmm. I think that that's something that gets misinterpreted a lot on both sides. I think that people say that, you know, I've definitely heard, like, you should be ashamed for being white, which isn't true. And I've definitely heard people say that, like, I'm proud of my white heritage, which, I don't know, buddy. Like, what below, like, Missouri, that's probably not the best thing to say. But you know what I mean? So, like, I think that white people need to acknowledge the fact that
their experiences aren't universal.
Mm-hmm.
And that just because other people do things differently does not make them inferior.
Yeah. I really enjoyed talking with you. I'm gonna wrap this up.
Okay.
Thank you so much for giving me your time, though.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.